When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
Hi, Arthi. So nice to see you after so long.
I missed you. I truly did. Do you want to hear what I did?
Yeah.
Last week there was an eclipse and a full moon, which tends to make me completely crazy. So guess what I did?
Oh, God.
There was a call out for fosters, for puppies. And I said, sure, I'll take two.
I know. Harold wasn't enough?
Harold and Bella.
And Bella, they weren't enough?
No.
Oh, so I now said, you've got four puppers in the house?
It's fine. So,
oh my gosh.
They said they're coming from Texas. If somebody in Texas, you have to confirm, because my husband thinks it's like a puppy mill. And it's really, they're just coming from Virginia. And they're pretending they're like rescuing these puppies from Texas. But they're really just popping off puppies. And this is my husband's theory, that there's some guy who is like having a puppy mill, all these puppies are being birthed, and then the puppies then come here and they pretend that they are the puppies that have been rescued from Texas, where apparently Texas has a huge problem with stray dogs and just dogs in general, and that they come all the way here, but they're not really. And the reason this is happening is because PetSmart and Petco want to sell more puppy food.
Oh my God.
He's like, this is what's happening. It's like they want to sell more product. And so they make these puppies. And then that's where, like, what is this? They're like a whole truck full of. So this van, the van came, and the van had like, truly, they had a mother who had just given birth. So she had 8 puppies. And then they were like 5 cats and about 8 or 9 pups. All coming from Texas. And he's like, there's no way this is happening. This is a puppy mill somewhere.
Okay, so initially when you started telling the story, I was like, okay, so your husband is Petco-anon. But as you've continued to tell the story, it definitely – like, who is volunteering to drive from Texas to Maryland?
So the rescue here that we got our other dogs from, this is a wonderful woman who has partners in Texas. And so what they do is they have, like, 4 people that make a run every week. They drive from Texas. They come here. They drop the pups and whatever dogs or cats that need to be adopted. They drop them. They go all the way to Pennsylvania, and they have multiple drops. As they go along, they get donations and they get food and everything else for the rescues down in Texas, and they carry all of that back. So, and apparently this is a network that pays them to do so. They seem perfectly nice people. They're like so nice and so knowledgeable.
Well, great news about me is that, one, I have no scruples, so I'll just change my mind in a second. Also, I don't know anything about dog ownership or how the dog network works, or whether it's rescues or Petco or the mills. So I believe whatever you want me to believe, Arthi. So if you're telling me that your puppies are actually coming from Texas, I'm not going to say otherwise.
So that's been the battle for the past 2 days. My husband has been annoying me with all these stories and trying to convince me otherwise. And I'm like, no, you're making me think that there's Cruella de Vil sitting somewhere sending all these pups here, and there's like a puppy mill industrial complex that
I keep imagining your husband in your basement with the puppies on one side, and then he's on the other side, and he's got like brisket, cowboy boots, a cowboy hat, like longhorns. Just like us, like a little miniature, like one of those like big ass Texas trucks, like a Ford F-150. And he's just like waiting. He's got like a notebook in his hand, and he's making notes about like, did the puppy react to this piece of Texas? Like, that's what I imagine is happening. He's got a big, like, he's got a board with strings.
That's how close he is. He's probably going to do that. Oh, yeah.
know what the puppies look like, but in my mind, they're like little baby bulldogs.
They were cute. Well, so I got two puppies, and one of them got adopted right away. The very next day, somebody came and adopted him because he's like fat and plump, and he's a boy. So everybody's like, "Oh, he's so cute." And then the girl that I got, the bitch that I got, she is like so tiny, and she's thin, and she's like, she has the saddest eyes. And I'm like, I have to plump you up because I'm like, I feel like a pimp. I'm like, eat more. You're not pretty enough for anybody.
It's like you don't want to make her self-conscious of her body. Like, no, honey, you're beautiful. I know you guys are sad because you've seen a lot of shit. And it's so unfair that your brother, just because your brother is like, what, a boy? He got picked up so fast. Like, you don't want to give her a complex either. So, like, yeah, I get it.
My daughter was like, of course the girl didn't get picked up.
I love that. It's the patriarchy, isn't it? Or the puptriarchy that made this happen. I love that Maya's already on top of it.
Right. That's what I've been dealing with.
What's her name? Have you given... Now, when you have a foster dog, do you give them a name?
No, because they come with paperwork, so you have to keep the name that they come with. So the boy was called Spanky.
Oh.
And the girl was called Sammy. So okay. She's Sammy, I guess.
Okay, poor Sammy. She's like, of course my brother gets a cool name like Spanky. No. And my name is Sammy, like that bitch from the Jersey Shore. Thanks, guys.
One of my daughter's friends came over to play with the pup, and she's like, is she Samantha or Sammy?
That's a great question. That's an excellent question. That's so true. Like, what, like, is it Sammy, short for? Is it Samsonite? Like, what?
She didn't come from Sex and the City. She's from Jersey Shore. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that's not what we're talking about today, is are these dogs. But today we are going to talk about Married to Medicine and Shaws of Sunset. But before we get into that, last week on the podcast, we had Chelsea from Oh No Bravo. And we did add a disclaimer about the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion that we did not talk about the sexual harassment issue. So I wanted to talk to you about it today, Arthi. And for the listeners, if you would like to not listen to this conversation because it is too triggering, you can look at the timestamps in the episode description. You can just skip ahead to when we start talking about Shaws of Sunset.
Oh my god, so you had to make the transition from puppies.
I know, I'm so sorry. And also, not even just like puppies, like you're like trying to sex up your puppy. Like, you're trying to suss her, like gussy her up.
It's so inappropriate. It's so inappropriate.
Okay, but you guys know we're ladies. Okay, we're ladies we're women who support other women.
Yeah,
and we got the giggles. But this is not a matter of giggles. But we're gonna laugh because we're awkward brown women, and that is what we do when we're faced in uncomfortable situations. But Jesus Christ, Teresa fucking Giudice, what the fuck? Okay, it's not even Jesus Christ, Teresa. It's Jesus Christ, Andy Cohen.
Yeah. I mean, why? I mean, at the very least, I feel like, can you just edit that out?
Yeah.
Can you just fucking edit that out? You edit out so much shit. Could you not have just edited that out? Mm. Because it is triggering to everybody watching. On top of it, you are not capable of... I'm talking to Andy straight.
Yeah, I'm talking
to him. He's not capable of approaching any of these sensitive issues with any gravitas or any sensibility. So why don't you cut it off and change the subject? If you're not capable of that, just correct her and say that she cannot be saying that kind of shit. That's not how it works. That's not how abuse works. That's not how molestation works. That's not how rape works. That's not how any of that works. And she's such a dodo bird, but Andy's just tolerating it, and Bravo is tolerating it, and then they show it for ratings' sake. They get a thrill out of putting this on. That's the part that makes me so uncomfortable about all of what Bravo is doing, is that they're doing that because they want the ratings.
Yeah. Initially, Andy brings up this thing about the sexual harassment thing because it comes up along the conversation that Jennifer Aiden is being slut-shaming and she is being terrible in the things that she's talking about.
Which she was.
Absolutely. Jennifer Aiden is a mess.
Yeah, she's just, but so is Marge calling her a concubine, which is also messy.
Marge is also a mess. Jennifer is also a mess. Mm-hmm. Marge is a mess in some ways, and Jennifer is a mess in other ways. Both are extremely problematic. Now, the conversation about sexual harassment comes up, and here's what else was insane to me. So it comes up, fucking Andy, who has hosted how many years of reunions, how many different shows, where he literally starts the conversation with nice boobs. Like, yeah. Earlier in the conversation, they're talking about Dolores's vagina. Right. So he's asking these women if they've ever been sexually harassed at work. They're at work right now, Andy. Right. And of course, what happens then in those situations is for women like Teresa, who are already so fucking dumb that they think that if that was me, I would never let somebody do that to me. Like, as if she thinks that it's like this person's just like willing to just sleep with their boss. Like, no, that's not how that works. So you already have somebody who's dumb enough like that. And there's people who are watching who are as dumb as Teresa, we know. Then on top of that, Andy's asking these questions about sexual harassment, even though he does a fair amount of sexual harassment at work. And what happens in those situations is now you're defining what sexual harassment means by excluding things that you do, Andy, which is so dangerous. For women who are not sure if they're being assaulted or not, or women who feel uncomfortable about being in certain situations at work. Now a woman can't advocate for herself and say, whoa, I think that if I feel uncomfortable at work, then that's okay for me to say, no, this is sexual harassment. But Andy just like fumbling, and I can't just say Andy because Andy's dumb enough, but you're right. The editors, like them just kind of bundling it all up in one thought was just insane. And then Andy follows up like 6 seconds later talking about, oh, Teresa, did you cheat on Joe when he was in jail? Joe Giudice isn't on the fucking show anymore. Mm-hmm. Why are we talking about who Teresa fucked while her husband was in prison? Right. Like, it was just, all of it was just so insane to me. And you know what the saddest part about it is, we know that there's people who are watching and are on the internet that were like, this suddenly got not fun. This suddenly is triggering me, and it's being dealt with as if Teresa doesn't know what analogies are, and she also doesn't know what sexual harassment is. Yeah. LOL. Like, all of it was bad.
Also, why even bring up certain topics if they're not part of the show? I know Marge wrote the book and it was part of the show, but he never had he didn't have her on Watch What Happens Live, did he, to talk about the book? That is the venue where it is one-on-one, where he could have brought it up and she could have explained, and it would have been a much more, you never know with Andy, but it could have been a much better venue to talk. But this is not a competition. It's not like who else got their lips done? Who else got harassed at work? That's not how, this is not the similar kind of conversation. What the fuck are you doing talking about that and posing a question of that sort and giving Teresa a platform to even respond with her idiocy? She is such a fucking moron.
She really is.
She's a moron, but she's so harmful. And the fact that she's tolerated and not called a moron outright in that instance is the reason that she thinks she's not. And she will keep coming back, and she'll keep doing this dumb shit over and over and over again.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people view Teresa's stupidity as like, haha, funny, cute, like Sonia Morgan. Like, no, this bitch has been to whole ass jail.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying people who go to prison are all dangerous people, obviously. But what I'm saying is Teresa isn't like this innocent bird that doesn't know what she's doing. She flipped a fucking table. She becomes the Incredible Hulk. She's a very dangerous person. And on top of that, even the way she kind of defends herself, it is with a tinge of rage. Like, you can tell, because I think in those situations, she knows that she doesn't know the right answer. She knows that she looks stupid.
Yeah.
And she almost gets defensive. She's so worried about coming off dumb that she just, instead, you can see her anger about her fear of being, off dumb.
She digs her heels in harder and deeper because she wants to say that, no, I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't you even think that I'm dumb, okay? I know what I'm saying, and this is what I'm saying. But she doesn't get it, that it does, it only makes her look and sound even more obnoxious than she is.
Yeah.
Ugh. I wish her old hairline comes back.
One, she's got a substantial amount of hair. Mm-hmm. Two, my mustache will tell you that not enough amount of laser hair removal can actually make hair that thick go away. So my point is, I think it could come back.
That's what I wish happens to her.
You know, I think the thing I worry about the most is that she's raising four daughters.
She is. Four daughters, and the statistically, they are going to experience this.
Yeah, exactly. It's stacked against them.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So and she's going to handle it poorly, or the girls will not have somebody to lean on. And she, to be a mother of four daughters and to have this kind of attitude and this kind of opinion is just terrible, terrible. And nobody is calling her out as much. I didn't see a lot of outrage online either. I saw some, but I didn't see a lot.
So Clubhouse was on fire. A lot of people were talking about it there. I think you know, it's so annoying. It's like, I think a lot of people are really angry, but then like another new thing happened. Like you saw, for example, Jen Shah has started her cousin started a GoFundMe because she just, all they needed was 10,000 people to donate $250.
I know.
Because she needed $2.5 million for a legal fund. This is a woman that spent how many thousands of dollars on parties on her first season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
10,000 people that like Jen Shah and think that she is innocent and are willing to dig in and have $250 to donate to that fund. What kind of, you know, cockamamie
is a great word. Yes.
Yeah. That's the kind of shit this is. Like, what? Who? She doesn't have 10 people who would lend her $250. Like, I know. What is it? What does her cousin think this is going to happen? This is just another scam on top of the scam, right? It's just another scam. That's the part.
I know. It's a scam lasagna is what it is. Yes.
It's another layer of scam. I was thinking like a scam, you know, another scoop of ice cream, right? On the
cold. Oh, nice. So like, yeah. It's also supposed to show how like you like sugar, right? You like Mita? You like dessert?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I love lasagna.
I
love
sugar so much, but I do. I'm craving ice cream right now.
You're craving ice cream. I'm craving lasagna. Look at that. So, well, the good news is GoFundMe took it down because, you know, Bravo fans were like, fuck you, bitch. They read the fine print and you're not allowed to, like, raise money if you're under investigation for criminal
offense. It's like, and that was like... Okay, the other thing was that the money was going to go to the lawyers so they could be paid to read 1 million documents.
I know. Oh, that was the other thing.
I was like, how about you give us the 1 million documents? I'm sure we can find 10,000 people who would be willing to sit down and read through the documents. You know, all of us would be interested in that. I would love to read. You know what? I will read all 1 million myself. And you have to pay me. I will read it on my podcast every day or on Clubhouse. I will have a continuous Clubhouse where I will just read the 1 million documents.
Somebody, I think we know somebody who knows somebody who's working on the investigation. So maybe I can ask if we can get a copy of those docs. Like, yeah, bitch, we will read it on Clubhouse 24/7.
We'll do it for free.
Some people have 24-hour, 7 days a week Clubhouse rooms to make peace in the Middle East. Not Middle us. East? No. Jen Shah's legal documents. And by the way, the funniest thing about that was also they're like, oh, there's so many documents that are going to prove that she committed this crime that we need to read. And then so GoFundMe shut it down. Before they shut it down, only one person had donated $50. I was like, what the fuck is that?
The one staffer, the one guy. Maybe it was Stu.
I think it was Coach. He was like, you're a fucking Coach. Shut the fuck up.
It could be your friend who's like.
What if it's Walter?
Walter.
How funny would it be if it was actually Mary Cosby?
Oh, she was like, that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
Right. Well, let's talk about, would you like to talk about Married to Medicine first or Shaw's of Sunset?
We could talk about both, but I want to take a pause here and talk about the fact that we have 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Oh my God, I know.
How did that happen?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank a couple of our Instagram followers who are also big podcast accounts or big Bravo accounts, like Bravo by Brett and Oh No Bravo and What Else Is Going On podcast and Dumpster Dive, Kendrick from Housewives Marvel 2 podcast. Like, they're just, they're so sweet. They're so supportive.
Yes. They're so lovely.
And so we just, first, we thank them. We thank everybody for liking us.
And our pod daddies.
And our pod daddies. Ben, of course,
and for giving us a big bump there.
We're still coming down from that high.
Yeah, I still. And then, RV, did you know that we're almost at 30,000 downloads on our podcast since October? Yeah.
Seriously?
Can you fucking believe that? Like, no. I stopped counting at 10 because I was so excited about 10K listens or 10K downloads. And now it's almost at 30,000. And we've only been doing this since what? So it's only been like 7-8 months.
Wow. We've been doing it for 8 months?
Okay, wow, I didn't realize that. I feel like I'm more excited and you're like, shit, I wasted 8 months of my time with this bitch.
No, I'm like, my midlife crisis has been going on for 8 months.
You're like, I was sure this was going to be done in like 8 weeks.
Congratulations, Noor.
Congratulations, Arthi.
Thank you. I do nothing but sure.
Okay, before we get into Married to Medicine and Jazz of Sunset also, I do want to tell you guys that this week, Family Karma is coming back. We're going to be recapping that. And then there is going to be a Family Karma recap room in Clubhouse, which the Family Karma cast girls, Indra and Dina, they're the ones that run that. We will sometimes be coming into that occasionally. Yeah. We have to figure out our schedules, but you can find Arthi and I in there maybe every Thursday night.
Yeah, chai and pakoras. We'll be there.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, there you go. That's the that on that. Okay, let's talk about Married to Medicine.
This is like, they're trying to make me like Contessa.
Okay, thank you. So this episode, Contessa goes to therapy. Anila talks to her daughter about being proud of being Indian. Lisa and Nicole does the most, plans a post-March on Washington town hall event.
Which is basically her hall, right? Like, her town hall event was really her hall. I mean, she was planning an event.
I don't know what it was, but there was a party to plan the town hall, which was fancier than any other party we've seen on the show so far, which was hilarious. So, okay, let's talk about Contessa. So Scott and Contessa, we know that Scott says, I'm not going to therapy. Contessa says, all right, I'm just going to go real hard on therapy then. Mm-hmm. And then we see Scott talking to the boys. And actually, one of the things I love about Married to Medicine is that there are these very honest conversations. But I do like the fact that it's these black men sitting in a room talking to each other about what to do in this situation. And there's nobody really pressuring Scott to be like, right, you have to go to therapy.
Yeah.
They're kind of just saying like, look, this is what worked for us. And in a lot of communities of people of color, men aren't going to automatically go to therapy. This Correct. Is a lot of times therapy. We've also seen a Married to Medicine. Obviously, we saw it was last week where I had that dinner with the couples, but we've seen this a lot in Married to Medicine and people think it's weird, but it's actually really, really common in a lot of black communities, especially that people from the church, couples from the church, they won't necessarily go to individual counseling, but they will instead sit and meet with each other. We saw Quad and Gregory do it. So it's a very, I like that it shows that.
We saw it happening on Potomac as well.
Yeah.
They do that a lot. But also, I think it is a very positive thing to watch these accomplished men think about and put in some effort into their marriages.
Yeah.
And not just walk away and actually think about what they're feeling and where they stand and where their wife stands, where their relationship stands. The very fact that they're even discussing it amongst themselves and to each other, that in itself is a big deal because, you know, in our community, we never talk about our marriage to each other. We never talk about our relationships with each other. Everything is always hunky-dory. You show up, you smile and laugh, and you go back home. You know, you don't air your dirty laundry, basically.
I think in my generation, especially South Asian American communities, there's definitely definitely a lot more of us. I wouldn't say airing out our dirty laundry, but there's a lot more honest conversation happening.
But that's what I mean, that they think it's airing dirty laundry.
Yes, yes.
But exactly. That's what I mean. It's not that they are discussing feelings and relationships and all of that. They think of it as you don't talk about stuff that's happening behind the door, behind closed doors.
For sure.
Your experience with that is different from mine, right?
Yeah.
So my husband is not going to talk about his feelings to any of his buddies. He's not going to talk about his marriage. He plays golf with the same three guys for the past four or five years. I doubt they even know what goes on and what my full name is and what I do. I don't think they even talk about their wives. They just talk about the game and each other, but not really their wives. So they don't talk about relationships at all. So, but it's different for your experience because you grew up here and you're open, more open to understanding.
But you know what's funny is as you started saying this, when it's couples together, the women will do yap, and we'll air all of our shit out with our husbands there and everybody.
Yeah.
And the men will sort of make a joke. And that's the only time I've seen any guy even talk about it openly.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it is the women. Like, it's so funny. As you were saying this, I realized. So we've got a group of friends here. They're all couples. And all the husbands are in a group text and all the wives are in a group text.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out through one of the wives that she and her husband were splitting up. Okay. And this is before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was like right before the pandemic, we found out that they were splitting up.
Did you know it was coming?
She had kind of hinted at being unhappy.
Yeah.
But we knew that she was going to maybe do a separation.
Yeah.
So she said that they were going to separate. There was a whole move. It was a whole thing. And we knew all the details. The women, we knew all the details, all the stuff. The husbands, nobody has said a damn word. He was like, no, we talk all the time about sports and, you know, politics and
stocks.
But
they
nobody
talked about it still?
Nobody from the group has said, hey man, heard you got divorced last year. Like, no, it's always like, oh, well, he moved. But nobody talks about why he moved.
Oh.
Or like, or they'll be like, oh, he has the kids this weekend. But they don't talk about why he has the kids this weekend. I do know my husband sent a text to him to be like, hey man, hope things are good. Let me know if you need anything.
Yeah.
Which is also like so fucking vague. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Men are weird, is my long story short. Brown men especially don't talk about their feelings. Watching grown black men who are accomplished actually talk about their feelings on TV is lovely.
It is.
Tell me about how your feelings for Contessa have evolved.
First of all, when she was meeting with the therapist, I for sure thought she was going to make a big drama about it and sob and you know, really go extra. But she didn't, which made me think that this is real.
And it was relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. Obviously, her therapist is a professional, but I did not arrive at the conclusion that Scott is like her dad.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I arrived at the conclusion that Contessa is hoping for her husband to fulfill her heart the way her dad is. He might be giving 85, 90%, but that 10% that he's not giving is so loud to her because she went through this experience with her father not giving her the attention that she wants.
Right. She's seeking attention.
She's seeking validation.
Validation. But she's seeking validation from her father, but she's putting Scott in that position.
Yes.
Scott is thinking, I am a good father.
Yeah.
But he's not thinking that he needs to have that, I don't want to say paternal kind of validation, but that's what she is seeking.
It is.
And she doesn't know.
Yeah, it is. It's like a paternal, parental. It's just
parental. Yeah. It's like nurturing. Nurturing is what she wants. Yeah.
And I think that's like a really big breakthrough because that's what I learned also in therapy is when I was going through like the first time I was diagnosed with depression and actually went to therapy in a constructive way, I realized that one of the parts of my depression that would always like trigger and wake up was my relationship and how I always felt like my husband is so great. He fits all of the things, but I'm just miserable around him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What was really happening was I was depressed. My husband is great, but I kept blaming my sadness on him because I still have a lot of unresolved sadness from growing up and going through experiences with my family.
Yeah. The husband being great with the kids and being a good husband and all of that actually sometimes it like subconsciously reminds you of what you father wasn't.
Yeah. Oh. Oh my God. Oh my God, girl.
So that's the trigger. Oh.
That's
I'll
it.
I'll give you a minute.
That's it. That's the damn.
Yeah.
That shook my brain.
Yeah. So it's just a reminder of like, oh, I wish I had seen this growing up. And it's like,
yeah. And it's almost like maybe with Scott, she sees Scott be a hands-on dad. Mm-hmm. He's a really good dad. She went away for school and he was a great dad. He stepped up. And instead of appreciating.
But he also said he was this close to walking out on her because she walked away. He was was done.
So but that's
he
in was the also marriage. Close,
yeah, but in the marriage. But that also feels like abandonment to her. Like, oh, my father left and now you are planning to leave as well. You are leaving at the first stressful situation that we are having. You want to leave as well. You won't abandon me.
Oh, man. Poor Contessa.
So that's where she's unhappy. And I think Scott doesn't want to talk about it because he doesn't want to face that he might have said something shitty or that he might have to step up or that Contessa is going through some real bad shit that he needs to support her on. And he just doesn't want to deal with it because he's just tired. And so he doesn't want to do that. And so that's something that's on him. He needs to step up and be there for her. Yeah. But also she needs to understand that she may always be a little unhappy about the whole situation for a while. It's not going to disappear overnight.
Yeah, you have to keep working on it. And I do like the fact that she said, okay, before, if I can't convince him to go to therapy, let me work on myself, which is a really important and self-aware thing too. Because one of our issues with Contessa was always that it seems like she thinks that she's perfect and everybody else around her is not doing enough. Or at least that's how you and I picked up on it. So the fact that she decides to go to therapy is a big sign that she's actually looking to work on herself.
That's true. I think everybody has to work on themselves. But also when the issue is a relationship, especially a marriage, it's still one-sided.
Yeah,
you can do
sure.
you. One person can do all the work they need, and at the end of it, if they cannot fix the situation, they are only left with one solution, which is leave the situation because there is no hope in fixing it. So, you get into a very sharp fork in the road, and that's a hard thing to navigate.
So Anila has this conversation with her daughter and her nanny, I guess, Miss Gomez. Mm-hmm. She tells her that her daughter, Ariana, had said to her, I wish I had blue eyes and I wish I was white or something like that. And so Anila has like a really, you know, come to Jesus moment because she feels like she needs to talk to her daughter about this thing that she herself has experienced. Now, I want to say Ariana is a little laddu and I want to eat her up.
She's a perfect little baby.
She was sitting at the counter and she was eating like some sort of curry with roti.
Roti and dahi.
Oh, she was so cute. She was so cute. So I love her. Okay, I think she's so sweet. I actually really like the conversation Anila had with her of trying to empower her and tell her like, no, you're beautiful and it's great and all this stuff. But God... Arthi, you know what drove me crazy?
Her hair.
No, that's all okay. Her hair was so crazy. But Anila's having this conversation with her daughter about trying to tell her, like, you should be proud of your hair and your brown eyes and your brown skin and all this stuff. Okay, her daughter wishes that she had blue eyes. Mm-hmm. Anila, while she's having this conversation with her daughter, is wearing blue fucking contacts.
Contacts, yes.
Blue contacts.
Yes.
I was like, okay, yeah, no wonder your daughter wishes that she had blue eyes because she just sees her mother doing it herself.
I was so wishing her daughter would say, but you have blue eyes.
I was like, Jody, she's not going to say that. She's a scared little brown kid. You don't talk back to your mother like that. But I know she thought it because she's going to bring – Ariana's going to bring that up in therapy when she's like 25. She's going to be like, by the way, my mom was on a TV show and she had a really big Instagram account and she would talk all the time about how I should be proud of who I am, but she would face tune her face to look white and wear blue contacts.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
I thought this is like, I was hoping that this would be more of a moment for her to realize what and how she does things impacts her daughter, because it's not just what they see outside. It's also what they see at home.
Yes.
you come off as insecure in your own skin, the kids pick up on that too. And I think that's something that Daniela needs to pay attention to. What bothered me through that whole scene was her hair. She's like, Daniela, you're Indian. You have good hair. That's the one thing we can be proud of. We have hair and lots of it everywhere. We have good hair. You don't have to have extensions in that.
No.
It looks so heavy. She could barely sit there. And then they were like rolling down. And that's the hair she wore to the party afterwards. I was like, oh, you don't need that much hair, Anila.
I know. It's a lot.
She's a tiny woman. And it was like so overwhelming. I'm like,
Yeah, it was a lot. So they go to this party. Lisa Nicole mm-hmm. throws an event. She's trying to throw a town. Okay, so here's the math. Lisa Nicole wants to throw a town hall before the election. And she asked Simone to work with her on it. Or really, it's Simone's idea. Mm-hmm. She talks to Lisa Nicole about it. Next thing you know, Lisa Nicole has done all the stuff, put her name, slapped her name on everything. And Simone is like, well, then you didn't really need my help because you did mm-hmm. it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I need your help. So she invites all the girls over to plan. There's no planning that happens. It's just some big fancy dinner at Lisa Nicole's house. I was like, bitch, you were trying so hard to get back on the show.
And also the way she tells Simone is, it is supposed to be their event together.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be hostess together. Mm-hmm. And she asked Simone if she wants to be on a panel. You don't ask the host if they want to be on a panel. Yeah. You ask the guest if they want to be on a panel. So that's where she's like,
that's a great panel. Point.
I am the one running it. So if I wanted to be on a panel, I would put myself on a panel. You don't have to ask me that. But this is like, what are you trying to do? But then she just goes overboard, doesn't she? She has somebody playing the piano.
It's very so obnoxious. Everybody keeps coming in. They're like, are we underdressed? I'm wearing jeans. Yeah, like, this is a planning party, right? What the fuck is going on?
There's a guy with drinks at the door.
It was just an awkward party. It was just such an awkward party. And then we see Lisa Nicole and fucking Heavenly go at it. You know, the thing with Heavenly is that she is always wrong. Almost always wrong.
Until but the she's
funny
crying.
Thing about... But unless she's
every
correct.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, like every once in a while she's...
clock is right twice a day, right? What is that?
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah,
exactly. So there's that part of it. But then it's like, you know, I have every reason to be mad at Heavenly right now. But Lisa Nicole is so annoying that I'm like, I, for some reason, am siding with Heavenly. And I don't understand why.
Yeah.
It was very confusing.
Yeah. So Lisa Nicole says that she... Do you think Lisa Nicole was working with Oprah, like, directly or through Gail?
Okay, not even through Gail. No. She was not working. She knows somebody who once interned at OWN. And, or, like, O Magazine.
Yeah.
And, she's like...
I'm working with Oprah. And she starts, like, name-dropping everybody. And then Carrie says, oh, wait. Is this, like, when I used to work with Mariah Carey?
I was like, I don't know if she's going to elaborate on it. What's happening?
I don't think anybody understood. They didn't understand. Is she pulling Lisa Nicole's leg there?
Because she was laughing, too.
Yeah, or is she being serious right now? Do we laugh at this or not laugh at this? Yeah. Such an awkward.
So awkward. No, but they do. So they get into this big fight. And for sure, Heavenly has fat shamed Lisa Nicole. So for Lisa Nicole, in turn, kind of fat shames Heavenly back. Which I'm like, that doesn't make it right. But ultimately, what comes out of it is truly what we've been talking about, which is Toya. Mm-hmm. calls out Jackie because she's like, you know that Heavenly is becoming this way because you enable her, because you all think that this is so funny. Mm-hmm. And we get to know the sort of backstory, which I also forgot, which was that Toya had introduced Heavenly to the group because they actually used to think that Damon and Heavenly were this aspirational couple. And instead of really embracing Toya like a little sister, she's essentially been bullying her. And we said, like, was it two episodes ago that when Toya is doing all all of these big extravagant things. She really is looking for Heavenly's approval because Heavenly was her aspirational friend. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that Heavenly in turn questions everything Toya does, delegitimizes everything that Toya does. That's why Toya's crying in the bathroom with Jackie.
That's why she's so upset. It made so much sense. And I wish Toya would articulate that better in her fights. She doesn't. But I immediately flashed when Toya was talking about that. I immediately flashed to Heavenly's first season when Toya did introduce her to the group. And then midway through the season, Toya was making fun of Heavenly was making fun of Toya's behind. How big it was.
Yes.
In that relay race that Jackie had, remember?
Yeah.
She was making fun of it. And then Jackie was making fun of both Heavenly and Toya. She was fat shaming them in the fittest it issue. And so then I'm thinking that maybe Heavenly and Jackie have bonded over the fact that Heavenly was able to lose weight. And Jackie approves of her. And so Heavenly feels empowered. And this is where it's all coming from, that Jackie and Heavenly got closer because of that. And because Jackie approves of it, Heavenly feels empowered to now put down Toya even more.
Wow. Damn. Today's episode is breakthroughs after breakthroughs, Aarti. Mm-hmm.
I told you, I took a break and I came back fully energized. I have so many.
Now paging Dr. Aarti.
Yeah.
It was great. I'm excited. The preview for the next episode is so funny that they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to work with Lisa Nicole. And the next preview is like, Lisa Nicole's in trouble.
Yeah. First of all, she's in trouble with the FBI. Do you know what happened?
No. So we got to talk about it next episode.
The whole thing was so funny where Heavenly just got up and pushed Lisa Nicole out of the way as she got out of the house.
She did. She was like, get away from me. She literally said, get away from me. Yeah. Like, can you imagine walking into somebody's house? They hug, they greet. Well, also Lisa Nicole put a goddamn like measuring tape around Heavenly's waist. So it's like, okay, but also Heavenly is warranted in being like, get the fuck away from me. It was so good.
Oh, yeah. I was so scared that Heavenly was going to like punch her or something.
I know. Moment. Could you imagine?
Like, you're getting into her personal space there.
It was so good. All right. So funny. Let's talk about Shahs of Sunset. So the Shahs continue their trip in Palm Springs. They play polo. Paulina joins the crew. And Mike finally admits to having multiple textual partners.
And Reza cries. Reza and MJ bond together the way they always bond, which is Reza fixing MJ's dress because nothing fits MJ.
I know.
quite right.
So good. So, okay, let's talk about all of these various, because let's talk about the different verses, right? Because this is a whole thing of Shahs and Sunset. You could have one episode where multiple people fight with multiple people, and it's just, all of it is amazing. Because unlike Beverly Hills or any of the other Housewives shows, it's like you have one long season-long big fight. And every season on Shahs of Sunset, there is usually one big fight, but they're so volatile and intense as people that every episode, like, you could be best friends in the beginning and by the end you could be yelling at each other. I just love it.
Yeah, you're saying there's so much depth in there, you could drown in there.
I wouldn't call it depth. I'd call it a shallow pond that I might just sleep on by accident and then die. I'd say that's about
it takes only 3 inches to drown, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you know, in Urdu we say dhakni pani mein doob maro, right?
That's like
literally die in a puddle. Okay, that's what that means.
That's one of our insults.
Yeah, exactly. Drown yourself in a puddle. You're not even worthy of a pool. Anyway, this conversation went to a whole other place. But my point is, all right, let's talk about this.
We should
first
do a
argument
Patreon of Urdu and Hindi curses. We should really do a special episode about just the curses and translate them to English.
Okay. Yeah. So the first argument was Gigi versus Mike. Gigi, yes, again is trying to psychoanalyze Mike and determine whether or not he's polyamorous.
Wants Mike in her polyamorous group? Like, she wants Mike to be part of that
polyamorous. I don't think that she wants Mike to be part of her polyamorous group, but I think she doesn't want to be the only one to be in a polyamorous group. You know what I mean?
Maybe she wants Paulina.
Oh, great, great, great observation. Now, Mike then, out of anger, calls Gigi an unfit mother. These guys are so crazy. It's so crazy. Like, in any other show, this would be the one fight that would carry over from multiple seasons.
But this moved on. It moved on so quickly. I think Gigi even forgot it, and then the next 10 minutes, it was all gone.
I have no idea what happened. Then we have Reza and MJ talking.
This is how it happens. Okay, first Reza and MJ sit down. MJ adjusts herself. She lies down properly. I love MJ. I appreciate everything she does. I'm like, that's what I would do. It's very uncomfortable to be sitting up.
Yeah.
And having all the weight drained down to your feet when you're talking to Reza. This is going to take a while. She lies down. And then she talks. They both talk and they're like, we should, you know, Polly, it's his birthday. Let's not talk about it. Let's move on. And then Mike comes over and Reza doesn't move on. He starts yelling and screaming. And then so Paulina comes in. So Reza is like, it's his birthday. We cannot get him upset. And then he's like reminding himself, no, you
should. It's so funny.
But you said that 3 minutes ago and he still got off. And then he goes into the room and he's like.
It's not Shadows of Sunset if Reza isn't but just bawling hysterically as if somebody has died. And it's so funny because the whole time it suddenly goes from Reza being mad at Mike to then Reza crying about not seeing Shumps, but Mike has seen Shumps.
So he didn't make any sense. It's so, I'm so upset that Mike came to your house and saw Shumps and then told you a cockamamie story.
We need to borrow your husband's bulletin board where he's cracking his
fostering. He's upset about it, but I'm like, what are you real?
We can pinpoint how these fights start because it make no damn sense.
I'm like, okay, but why are you really mad? And the whole time, MJ is like, just, did you notice that MJ was very calm? Like, she was
so calm. She's been sober the entire episode. Yes.
And she is, she's very calm. She lets him say whatever nonsense he wants to say. She just nods and she's like, okay. And he fixes himself. He's like, he cries, gets through it, then he moves on. And she's like, okay. I feel like MJ, after she had the baby, she like looks at all of them and she's like, you're also infantile.
Yes. And
now that I have dealt with Shams, I know how to deal with all of you. You just let them have the tantrum.
Yes.
And then get tired. And then they get all right all of once. Then you give shove some food in front of them and they're fine.
They're fine. They're fine. It was just so funny. And then I like that MJ's like just nodding and then he's done and they're done. But then in the confessional, she's like, he has an entire restraining order against my husband. Like, why would I let you see the child when you have a restraining order against the father? It's so insane. Okay.
Yeah.
So then they go to this polo party. Have you ever ridden a horse or played polo?
I've ridden a horse when I was a child on Juhu Beach.
Oh, nice.
I went on a pony ride. That's the only time I've ridden.
Oh, pony ride. Yeah.
But I haven't ridden. I love horses and I want to learn horse riding. That's another thing on my bucket list.
You're in the right state for that. Maryland is equestrian as fuck.
Mm-hmm. It's expensive as fuck too. So
I know it's such an expensive. White people, come on, knock it off. Yeah. Okay. I've never ridden a horse, but I have ridden a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
And a camel multiple times. So,
nice. I've ridden a camel and I've ridden an elephant multiple times.
Oh, an elephant. Yeah. So Indian.
Yeah.
what a stereotype.
I know. Somebody asked me if there was an elephant in my wedding. I was like, no.
I only ridden them before.
Yeah. I've ridden them, but no.
I've never ridden a horse and I've never played polo. So I would be definitely like these Shahs who are just like, mm-hmm. can we get cute in the outfits and just like hang out?
Yeah.
I would definitely be like, as much as I hate Reza, I would be like Reza wearing the wrong shoes. I was
so amazed at MJ, how she stuffed herself into those pants. And I was so afraid that she was going to get on the horse and it was going to be like a big tear in the middle.
No, they're straight up rubber.
I need MJ's tailor. I want somebody who makes clothes for MJ because that's the kind of body I have right now. And I need that. I was like, all I'm doing is watching MJ dress. And I'm like, how does she squeeze into that? I don't know. I need to do that.
I mean, most of her wardrobe is exclusively from like Fashion Nova, which is like where TikTok stars buy their clothes from. So it's like, you know, I wouldn't say that she's an icon in that way, but I do love the fact. I appreciate the fact that MJ. I appreciate the fact that MJ from Jump, and actually everybody on Shadows of Sunset, mm-hmm. is very body positive.
They are very.
Yeah. They're extremely body positive. Yeah. So that is great. So at the Polo Lounge, Reza is actually being lovely to Paulina. And he's mm-hmm. like, look, I want Paulina to be with Mike because she makes Mike a better person. Yeah. And I want to make sure to validate her and make her feel loved and happy as much as possible so that she stays with Mike. Oh, but later on, we realize that this does not go so well because Mike starts to get paranoid that Reza is being a snake. Obviously, that's what they're alluding to. So Mike shuts it down. And then at the end of the night, after his birthday dinner, admits that the texts were actually from him. No shit, Mike.
Yeah.
And then he says, but I want to be honest. And I also want to be honest that there's a snake amongst us. And it's like, okay, you're obviously talking about Reza.
Yeah.
We know he's a snake. He's a snake every season.
Yeah.
He's literally, I can see him slithering like right now.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing about that was, so earlier in the episode, they showed Mike's text exchanges and they labeled it Mike's sex.
Yeah.
Then at the end, they show those same text exchanges after he admits it. And they say, things Mike actually said.
The editors have so much fun with this show. It is so, you can tell that they are having fun when they start doing all of this.
They really are.
And then Mike, like, honesty is the best policy, right? And then he says it in such a way that he is not even ashamed or sad or upset about it. He says like he's proud that he's being honest. He is so weird. He's like, even if I were being honest, I'm admitting to not having been dishonest before. And that's not even in his consideration. He has the most, next to Ramona, I think he has the most delusional confidence in himself.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point. But I have to say, you know who really is bothering me in this situation? Paulina. Mm-hmm. Paulina's a fucking snake.
Yeah.
Because she did this to MJ last year when MJ also said some bullshit to Paulina last year. Mm-hmm. But the way that she presented it to Mike was like, oh my God, I'm so offended. These women are so terrible.
Right.
I have a feeling that she's probably going to present what happened with Reza the exact same way to Mike. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people on the internet that are saying that Paulina does all of this because she just wants to be a full-time cast member.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to believe it because I don't understand how you have that drunk drag out fight with your boyfriend the episode or two episodes before. He's gaslighting you, telling you you're a drunk, and now you're totally comfortably admitting that fine, the texts were like, what happened in the middle?
And to your point, Paulina has her kids, Paulina has her money, so what is she seeing in Mike with his sexting and he's such a weasel and such a weak one too at that. Like, what is she seeing in him other than the fact that he's her gateway to the show?
He's dumb enough to believe that. Like, she knows how to, like, work him up in a way to make him feel like, oh, you're important and I need you.
Right.
Like, oh, God, Mike.
I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but Mike and his confessions, and everybody's like, okay. Everybody looks so disinterested. Did you see Gigi? Gigi was so busy smoking and just checking her email, and she wasn't even paying attention to Mike talking. She was like, yeah, whatever. I love Gigi's attitude this season. She's like, you're all horrible, terrible people, and you've always called me horrible, terrible, but I don't have to play your game anymore.
That's true. That's very, very true. Yeah. But I do think that when MJ is trying to talk to Destiny, mm-hmm. Gigi is being a little bit too rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like yeah. maybe shut up.
Yeah.
Also, I do think that it's really funny that Gigi's like, oh, I saw Shervin and mm-hmm. all I want to do is yell poops to him.
Yeah.
I was like, what a weird friendship she has with Shervin.
I was surprised that Shervin knew exactly what she's going through. He's like, yeah, Gigi gets too close to somebody and then you have yes. to go through a period of not being close to her before she lets you back into her circle.
Shervin knows her number, man. He knows yeah. her. I love that Nima says that. It's a rite of passage for you to be Gigi's friend and then for you to get iced out by her. Yeah. I loved it. I thought yeah. it was so funny.
Yeah.
They share. I wanted to note this because it's so funny. They start talking about sharing your sexual fantasies.
But it's like, comes out of nowhere. They're like, okay, no one's talking. Let's sit down. Like, what's your sexual fantasy? I'm like, you just jumped into it? Like,
I mean, they do usually. But I thought it was so funny because London starts to talk about it in a way. And all of the men are so bored. And I was like, yeah. this is now confirmation for me that none of the men on Shaws of Sunset know how to have good sex. Because London is describing something that most girls would be like, oh, shit, that sounds great. And then
no, but that's the difference, right? Men want to see. They're visual and they're not able to imagine it. But women no. can imagine it. That's why women can read. Yeah. You know, read exotic stories and pornographic stories, but they don't necessarily want to watch it. But men yeah. need to watch it. They need it explained in pictures.
It's so funny. It just cracked me up. I was like, wow, none of you know how the female body works. Okay, confirmation. Yeah. What's going to happen next episode? Obviously, we're going to get Tommy back on our screens, which is mm-hmm. very exciting. It's almost like every season you have one target, but now it feels like on this season, every episode we have a new target, which is great.
Mm. Yeah. Mike is saying, Reza, you picked me as the scapegoat. I'm going to pick you. No.
Yes.
I'm going to pick you. And Reza's exactly. like, how did I become the villain here? I'm like, you've always been the villain from day one. What are you talking
yeah, about? Exactly. You got rid of your mustache, but you're mm-hmm. still a villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, it was a good episode. I love Shaw's episode.
I think as long as I don't see Adam, I think I'll be fine. Oh,
great point.
This
great
episode point. Was good because we didn't have Adam.
That's a really good point. We've not had to deal with
him. He's such a downer.
Yeah, I hate him.
The fun index comes down with Adam is in the screen.
Exactly.
And he's because, like a he's not in the, because he's not in the group's scenes, now they're giving him special scenes with Reza, and they're so long. I'm like,
oh, you're right, because of the restraining order.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another
I don't
point.
Mind a long-ass scene with Tommy because he's funny. Adam is not.
No, he's not. But it was a very fun episode and I was cracking up the whole time.
I was laughing the whole damn time.
They make me laugh so hard, this goddamn show.
That would be a group that I would party with. I would love to just hang out with and just
I would be so scared of them. I'd
First
be like,
of all,
no.
food. There's, yes. There'll be a ton of food.
Yes.
And there'll be a ton of alcohol. It would just mm-hmm. be funny to watch them.
I think I'd be scared of getting bullied.
Probably. You would get bullied. But if you go in, like, you know, thinking of it as a rite of passage, you'll be fine.
That's true. You're right. It's yeah. the rite of passage.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode. We'll talk about Housewives next week. And, you know, we're going to touch on I'm just going to bring it up for 1 second right now. But you do know Portia got a tattoo.
Of Eeyore.
Can you fucking imagine? She got her fiance's middle name
and
tattooed
Giselle,
on her neck.
And Giselle admitted that she's no longer with Pastor Holy Whore.
Okay, and Mike sent text messages to yeah. that girl. Like, this is not news.
Yeah.
This is not news, guys. And Joe Gorga doesn't pay his bills. Okay, hello, yeah. everybody. Get on board. We know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll talk about all the Housewives on our Saturday episode, and we'll also be talking about Family Karma. Mm-hmm. And if you are listening to this on Wednesday, make sure that you go to the Family Karma recap room on Clubhouse in Club Bravo on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you on Saturday.